ones. But I first met Gloria about a year ago at the banquet when you shared. Or was it this year when you shared? This year. Oh, it seems like a long time ago. November. So, Gloria, welcome to our church, and I'll let you introduce others as you want to work it in.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Pastor Dave. This is, what a privilege it is to be here. It's been, even though it's, you know, November when I think I first met you, I still think that that's a long time coming. We have tried on numerous occasions to get things together, and at the Women's Center, we have just been going through a season of change, and I think that when you're in ministry with God, it's always in a season of change. Nothing remains the same. Thank the Lord. So I just want to say what a privilege it is to be here. I have heard so much about this congregation, the history of this church, the legacy of Pastor Bob, who I understand has gone to glory in December, and that he was really, this church was instrumental in this wave of the charismatic that went through years ago. And so I want to pray blessing on this church, that would just, that wave would come again into this community, and that there would be a move of the Spirit, and that there would just be a revival in this community. I just pray that wave to happen again. I just sense such a peace and a love and a sense of family in this church, and feel so welcome as we come in here. And again, just all of the things that I have heard about this congregation and your family, and just the love that you bestow on Teen Challenge Men's Center and the Women's Center, and the prayer and support, because it is that prayer and support that we need to in this type of ministry. So I'm from the Teen Challenge Women's Center in Abbotsford. My role there is the program director. And I came to be with Teen Challenge in September of this year, and as the program director. And it was an amazing time. We have gone through, as I said, some season of change. After a month and a half of being there, our director needed to take a leave of absence as her mom was dying with cancer. And so I was thrust into this baptism of fire after a month and a half of being there to run this center and to carry on. And I know that it was certainly not by my might. It had to be by the Spirit, because just a monumental task of doing these things. But it's also not just by my own strength. It's by the people like yourselves that support us in prayers, and people that support us in the ministry by volunteering and just being encouragement. It's not something that we can do alone. It's an absolute privilege for me to be called to this ministry. It's a ministry of transformation, of restoration, and of healing. And I really have to say that God has called me using all of my gifts and skills and abilities from my own life to come for a time such as this. And the Women's Center, I believe, it's like an Esther anointing on that center. What I believe that God is calling the women to is to that year of healing, of purification, of preparation, before they then go out into the community and back to their families, being presented back to them, transformed and whole and ready to serve the Lord. And so it is a privilege to be a part of that, and for to God to be using my skills and abilities and gifting. I'm not going to talk a lot about myself because what you really want to hear is about the women. The women in our center, I'm sure that you know Teen Challenge is an organization not about rehabilitation. We're not like a treatment center, but we are a place where the Holy Spirit comes and does a healing and transforms lives. And it's through a discipleship program, because we believe it's through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that healing takes place, that real transformation happens. It's not just about stopping the addiction. It's about transforming a life. And so that's what we're about there, and that's what Teen Challenge is about, and what we're about in our Father's business. And so I just want to share with you a scripture that God has placed on my heart for all of the staff at Teen Challenge, And I just want to ask that you would continue to pray for us in this. And the scripture is in Proverbs 4:11-12. And as I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths, when you walk, your steps will not be hampered. And when you run, you will not stumble. And this is something that, each student in a day in the life of each student, they need to hold fast to, because it's not an easy process. And the enemy just does prowl around, wanting to rob, steal, and destroy. And so we have to hold fast to the fact that our Lord is faithful, as we sang, and He is true. And so anyway, I want to just share with you, we have a video here that will just give you a typical day in the life of the women here at Teen Challenge.
Years ago, I ended up really sick and hitting bottom, doing drugs and drinking mouthwash, and ended up in a relationship with a man who I had two children with, and he tried to murder me in front of my children, and I just was so sick and so far from God and desperate. And now I just started my ninth month last week, and I'm having my third trip home to see my kids. For the first time in my life, I sleep unaided. I used to have to take some kind of medication or drug or alcohol or something to sleep, and at night terrors I sleep well. I'm thinking about going back to school when I finish, and I'm a high school dropout, and my life is totally different. To cope with life, and I discovered men and alcohol and drugs, and I ended up being on the streets of Hastings. I lived there homeless for 10 months. Now that I found Christ, it's just amazing. I am so thankful to be living in the truth. And here at Teen Challenge, I'm learning about the love of God, that God is love, and His love is what's changing my life. Before I came to Teen Challenge, my life was just
I just wanted to die. I didn't love myself, didn't love anybody. I was just full of a lot of hatred. Since coming to 15 Challenge and meeting God personally, he's totally changed my life. I am excited to live every day. I'm excited to be the mom that I'm supposed to be. I'm so excited for what he has in the future and what my destiny is in him.
I came from a background where I didn't feel loved or wanted. There was a lot of fighting and alcohol abuse. My first drink was 4 years old. My first drunk was 11. After graduating, I got a lot of love and acceptance, I think, through the club scene and drugs. Upon coming to Teen Challenge, God has delivered me from so many things. I'm so grateful for Teen Challenge, the provision here, the many volunteers that just stand behind us and pray for us and just donate to the house and just spend their time with us. And the staff here are amazing. And I am so blessed today to be in Teen Challenge. I'm one of 10 women in all of Canada.
My name is Lynn, and I'm Cree First Nation from Saskatchewan. I was not brought up in a Christian home. I heard about Teen Challenge actually when I was 20 years old. I was in jail in Pine Grove, which is a women's facility in Prince Albert. I struggled with addiction, with alcohol and cocaine addiction, probably from the time I was around 15. Being at Teen Challenge and receiving the discipleship that it's given me has helped me with the issues that had hindered me in my past. And I'm so thankful for Teen Challenge. I'm so thankful for what God is doing in this ministry, because I really don't know where I'd be without it. Teen Challenge was my last chance.
Daddy, for this day. I thank you for all that you've revealed to us today, Lord God. I just commit all of our sleeps to you tonight, Father God. I ask for protection and a sweet sleep. Your word says you will lie down unafraid and you will help people. And I claim that scripture for all of us.
Hi there. So I am also feeling very privileged to be here, and some of you might recognize me because I was in the video, but B, I was here last February, and I believe the year before that as well, because I was a student in Teen Challenge, and I'm here today because I now work for Teen Challenge. So I just want to share. Yeah, thanks. Praise God, eh? And I just want to share, you know, my testimony with you today to the glory of God. And I just wanted to comment on the worship, because I just felt, you know, the Holy Spirit saying it. Father was really blessed today because he was magnified and he was lifted up. And I just really feel his presence here. So that's really great. You guys, you're really on the right track. So my name's Christine, and I grew up in British Columbia. I grew up going to church on Sundays, but not in this type of church, in a church where the relationship with the Lord wasn't preached as much, and I didn't know Jesus personally. And so I struggled as a child with acceptance. I was also very lost and very confused about the world. So I was trying to find my place in the world, and as a teenager, I found a certain level of acceptance through drinking and drugs and hanging out in abusive relationships. And it quickly escalated into harder drugs after graduation.
I was living downtown, and I was into the rave scene, and I was doing ecstasy and speed and crystal meth and all that stuff. And from there, you know, before the age of 20, I was going to rehabs, you know, trying to get better through government programs, and nothing worked, and I had suicide attempt. And by 22, I was involved in IV drugs, cocaine and heroin, and that led me to the streets of Maine and Hastings, like I said in the video, and I lived there for about a year, homeless, involved in all aspects of what that kind of street life entails. And I was very sick, and I was dying 10 months into it, and I was so sick and weak that I couldn't even use. So I had been a missing persons for that year because I'd abandoned my car and went off to Hastings, and I asked my mom and dad, I called them up, and I asked for help because I couldn't use anymore and I needed to heal. So I was too afraid to stay in BC. It was just too close, $10 in a bad day, and I could be back on Maine and Hastings. So they flew me out to Ontario, 3 days off of Hastings, and I detoxed in Thunder Bay, Ontario, where I was born. And we had extensive extended family there, and they took me in. So that was at 23. And at that point, you know, I tried to get better, but basically my whole adult life, I only had 3 months clean every time I cleaned up. I couldn't get any farther than 3 months. So because I'd mainly been a drug addict and I hadn't really become an alcoholic, I was known as a drug addict, I convinced my family that it was okay for me to drink, and I became an alcoholic. And I maintained quite well as an alcoholic, like relatively speaking, in total spiritual bankruptcy. But from the outside world, I had a job, I had a fiance, and I acquired things, credit and furniture and stuff. And I did that for many years, about five actually. And then that escalated into a nasty opiate addiction, which I hid from everyone other than my fiance and I, and we were buying prescription drugs off the street. I was physically addicted to opiates, morphine, and that went on for 3 years, and I became suicidal again. Life was hell. I was living a double life, and you know, the Lord was just moving on me, I guess, because my guilt was really high, and so was my shame. And I called out to him, and I said, God, you know, if there is a God, I need to know the truth. Like, I need to know the truth, or I'm going to end my life. And without going to church or anything, the Lord just kind of intervened within a few days. He had changed my perspective. So my counselor had given me a book, and I read it, and the book just talked about hope, which is what I needed, and that spurred me on to change my life. So without Jesus involved in this, but calling out to God, you know, I decided to leave my fiancé, leave the drugs, leave Ontario, and move back to BC to start a new life. So drove across Canada, coming off of the morphine, weaned myself down all by myself. My family didn't know. No one knew that I was living a lie now, that, you know, that I had been living a lie. But came out here again, 3 months clean, and I got into alcohol again. And through being in alcohol again, I ended up getting involved in another abusive relationship, and I was reintroduced to cocaine, and I started smoking crack cocaine at that time. Here I am in my late 20s, alcoholic, smoking crack cocaine, trying to make a fresh start, not doing it, in abusive relationships with men, and going to college. So I tried to get off of that because things started to unravel. I started to lose it. People started to see that something was happening with me 6 months into the crack cocaine. And I ended up going to a recovery place where I got honest with my parents and my family about what had been going on for the last 8 years, that I'd been living a double life. I had actually never gotten clean. Still, no Jesus. Because I wasn't truly free, but I had just started to get honest, I actually got involved in a relationship where you know, Narcotics Anonymous there, and the gentleman who I was living with at the time, he was actually recovering from IV cocaine, which had been my drug of choice 10 years earlier. Well, when he relapsed, I relapsed, and I was again 10 years later doing IV, heroin, and cocaine, living on the streets of Kelowna in City Park in my 30s, and I was desperate, and I was being abused, and one day an RCMP officer was, you know, wanting to charge my boyfriend because he had beaten me up, and I had two black eyes, and I was pleading with him not to. Instead of charging him, which he by all rights should have, he took mercy on me, and instead he just told me about Jesus, like flat out, boldly. And he said, you know what? The only way that you're going to get out of this trap of being abused by men and being addicted to drugs is by Jesus and a hobby, he said. Yeah. So, yeah, and you know, he spent 2 hours just boldly speaking to me about Jesus and how I needed to find a church. And I had, yeah, just amazing. Total move of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, he was just so bold about it and took that mercy on me where he should have charged my boyfriend, but he didn't. That kind of opposite way of doing things just so impressed me. I took him seriously. And whenever I was clean enough to look, I made a deal with my dad that I would try Christianity again because I had written it off. All the counselors told me I should be a Buddhist, you know. But and that wasn't working for me. So from there, I started looking around at churches and in Kelowna, and I found a church. It's just like God says, when we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. And for the first time ever, I was in a church and I felt the presence of God, and I knew there was a God. You know how you know that you know that you know? The Holy Spirit just revealed the Lord to me, and I knew. Well, within a month, I was saved. I was baptized within 3 months, and I was back on the street. I couldn't stay clean long enough to get discipled, but I would go to church, you know, on my methadone or on my coke or whatever it was. But you know, and I'd be sitting there nodding off or whatever. But I couldn't get discipled because I couldn't stay involved in anything else other than just the Sunday church. So this lady a year earlier had told me about Teen Challenge, and I through that process I ended up getting off the street. I was living in a house with a few roommates and going to church on Sundays, but still totally in bondage to addiction. And I called up. I relapsed one day, and I was out on the streets, and I saw the Teen Challenge Men's Center van in the parking lot of the courthouse in Kelowna while I was walking by. And because I'd heard of Teen Challenge, and I knew I needed to get clean, and I knew I loved Jesus, I ran up to them, and I was like, hi, you know, I'm relapsed right now, but I really want to go to Teen Challenge to get better next time. So he gave me the phone number to the Women's Center, and within 4 months, I was in Teen Challenge. Yeah, so just having Teen Challenge out in the community really helped. I mean, who knows how long it would have taken for me to get around to finding the phone number to the Women's Center, you know, if that hadn't happened. So I went through the 12-month program, and they don't call it Teen Challenge for nothing. Even without kids or without a husband, it is difficult to stay in this program. To give up everything and be sanctified for a year, you know, is a difficult thing, let alone letting go of an addiction on top of that. So, but you know what? Like, even the times when, I mean, I wanted to be there, but there were still times I didn't want to be there. And, you know, I just waited on the Lord before I made any decisions. And He always just came right by me and said, you know what? Stick it out. And He continually is revealing His faithfulness to me around that. Even when things don't look perfect or great or good, and I'm like, God, are you sure this is what your will is? It turns around in the end if we just wait on Him, and His word is so true. So what happened after graduation, after my mind was renewed and my heart was transformed by the Word of God and the vehicle of Teen Challenge, I stayed on as a leader in training for a six-month program at the center, which you can apply for after graduation. And they kind of help you along the way, and you stay close to Teen Challenge and work there. I did that, and then after that, you have an opportunity to be an intern, which I did for another 6 months. And then after that, I just felt that the Lord, I wanted more work experience somewhere else. So I went off for a short season, and I worked in my local church office. And very distinctly, the Lord called me back to Teen Challenge. And that was in, I believe, January. Yeah. And so now I'm the outreach and the intake coordinator for the Women's Center, and I just love it. It's like a dream job for where I'm at in my life, and I feel very privileged and honored to give back a little what of God has given to me. And like he says, we have the authority to give back what we have received from him, and I've received healing and deliverance and transformation and freedom. So, to be able to do that is just the best job in the world, you know? Yeah. And that's, like, not all, because on top of that, when I was in Teen Challenge, the Lord put on my... And, like, me and children know. Me and, you know, third world countries know. But it was the move of the Holy Spirit, and he put on my heart some children in Africa. And I actually, for 2 years, I waited and prayed into and fundraised and looked around for what it was that God wanted me to do. And he fulfilled that desire of my heart. And I just, at the end of March, I spent 2 weeks in Uganda, Africa, at the Uganda Jesus Village, which rescues children from the Ugandan-Sudan border that has been war-torn for the last 18 years because of a rebel army called the Lord's Resistance Army. And they actually pull in, they kill all the adults, and they pull in the children to be soldiers in their army. So there's a lot of healing, a lot of murder, just a lot of bad stuff going on. The children need healing and love and discipleship and freedom through Christ. And that's what this Uganda Jesus Village does. It rescues the children from northern Uganda and down to this village, and they get discipled and loved on. So I was able to go there for 2 weeks, and we taught the children. We ministered to the children. We spent time with the children, and it was just absolutely amazing. So I'm just excited to see what else the Lord has in store. And I'm ready for anything. Yeah, so glory to God for just his goodness and his mercy, eh? Yeah, he's wonderful. Thank you.
Good morning, church. My name is Victoria Rempel. I am 26 years old. I was born and raised on a farm in Windsor, Ontario, with my three siblings, including my identical twin sister. And I guess you could say I was raised in a normal home. I had loving, God-fearing parents. I was in church every Sunday. I eventually became a Sunday school teacher myself. I was in the youth groups, Bible studies, etc. And as I got older, things started to change. My dad was different at home than when he was at church. And I knew how he was talking to my mother and us children was not right. And soon enough, the talking badly to us turned into treating us very badly, all of my whole family. And I was spoken to very harshly, and I was very physically abused by my father all my life, along with all other forms of abuse from other people. And I remember sometimes when it came to be about 5 p.m. and my dad would be returning home from work, I would be out in the field looking down the highway. And I never wished harm on my dad. I never wanted him to be hurting anywhere. But I did wish that he would just not come back home at all sometimes. And at the age of 16, my twin sister and I, we ran away from home together 2 days after Christmas. And at that point, my father disowned us, and my mother was devastated. She was heartbroken, and we were allowed no contact with our family at all whatsoever. And, of course, we began drinking and attending parties regularly. We're smoking pot. And eventually, we're both getting into harder drugs. I was introduced to cocaine at the age of 17, and I became an instant addict. And I started dating a drug dealer when I was 23 years old. And before I knew it, I had been smoking crack every day for over a year and a half. I was down to 92 pounds and suffering from multiple seizures and basically on the dying. And last May, he put a knife to my throat and had full intentions of killing me. I don't remember escaping that situation at all. And I know it's only by the grace of God that I survived that. And I knew at that point God had a higher calling in my life. And my parents asked me to move home. I was more than happy to comply with anything they said. And they immediately began looking for help for my addictions. And they, off the internet, they printed off three applications and information on different Christ-centered recovery homes. And Teen Challenge was the first application that I read. And I knew in my heart that Teen Challenge was the place for me. And so I applied and immediately was involved in trying to repair my own life. And I am, as of today, in my 8th month of the program, and God has started in a very amazing work in me. I'm learning the power of prayer and how to set safe boundaries for myself and others. He has not only started that work in me, but in my entire family. My family relationships have been restored. People told me God was in the restoration business, and thank God he is. My family's been basically restored, and I'm looking forward to rebuilding broken bridges after graduating. And the power of prayer is truly amazing. James 4:8 says, come here to God, and he will come here to you. And I find myself in prayer quite often these days, and just on my knees, on my face. And I'm very thankful to be alive and living for God today and to be here. It's very good to be back in church again and living for God, and I am, say, a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, and I just want to say what a privilege it is to be set free from my past and to watch God set others free from their past. Thanks for having us.
Wow. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and there's freedom in this place. There's freedom in Jesus Christ, and he did come to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. And, you know, one thing I can say about addiction that I've been learning is that it is not a respecter of persons. Addiction doesn't respect the fact that you might be the mayor's son or a preacher's daughter. Addiction comes into our lives, and it doesn't come in like all at once in one big fell swoop. Maybe sometimes that does happen, but normally what it is, it's those little compromises, those little places in our lives where we just say, well, that's okay. A little bit of that's not going to hurt, and a little bit of this isn't going to hurt. And next thing you know, you're in the same place that Victoria and Christine are. And we can drive around in this neighborhood, and we can go down on Hastings Street, and we can see people that are hurt and broken. But what we need to say, but for the grace of God, there go I. Because every one of us, I think, here could easily, from one small moment, be in that same place. And so, even in where we are right now, sitting in our seats here, you know, there's areas of our lives that we are not surrendering to Jesus and allowing the Lord to come in and have lordship over our lives. And so, I just want to encourage all of you to think about that. I mean, I'm thinking that and saying that for myself and constantly saying, Lord, come, you know, show me what is it that I'm not giving to you. Because what I know about God is that he does heal broken hearts. But first you've got to give him all the pieces. And he doesn't just heal it and put it back together again. He makes it new. And so I am just praising God for being a part of this ministry, to be able to in any small way, to be a part of that transformation of these women. I know that God has done an amazing work in Christine, and he's not finished with her yet, and he's not finished with me or any one of us. And I know that with Victoria, when she finishes Teen Challenge, She's expressed to stay on possibly as an LIT. She's exploring that, but there's other avenues. And I think what's most important is we say, Lord, here am I. So send me. You know, when Isaiah said that, send me. And that's what he's asking us, is to be obedient to his call and to listen to what it is that he has for our lives. Teen Challenge, started because there was a pastor 50 years ago, and he heard the call of God on his life, and he said, here am I, send me. And he went to Brooklyn, and because there was a murder trial on of some teens, a gang that had beaten a handicapped young man and killed him. And God put something on his heart to go to Brooklyn. He didn't know why. And he went, and he kept pursuing that call on his life to go to Brooklyn and to reach out to these gang members. And then it led him to the streets of Brooklyn in the ghettos and to be reaching out to the youth that were in gangs and addiction and bondage. And so the ministry started from there. And in this June, we're celebrating 50 years of Teen Challenge, 50 years of God doing a work in and helping set the captives free. And so I want to show you in this next moment just two clips of a little bit of what Teen Challenge, the history and the legacy is of Teen Challenge. And it's not about a man. It's not about David Wilkerson. What it's about is that call on his life, that he said, yes, Lord. So if God is calling any one of you to do something out there, then I want to encourage you to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I just forgot to mention, after the video, we would like to give our monthly missions offering towards Teen Challenge. So you'll have a chance to get ready for that, and the ushers will come. You're going to say again at the end, but just wanted to forewarn you of that so that you can be prepared.
Can we crank this mic again?
The slogan was in those days,
once a junkie,
always a drug addict.
The only way out is through death or life in prison.
We'd had a 40-year war against drugs, and drugs had been winning.
The story that began 50 years ago.
After you listen to a lie for a long time, you begin to believe the lie, and then you actually become the lie.
Hear firsthand the desperate true stories.
The only way to live a little longer in this life, become an animal.
I walked out in front of the bus.
I just helped kill my brother.
Before I knew it, I was strung out on heroin.
I just can't take it. I need a fix.
I was convinced I was going to die before I got 20 years old.
I pulled out the knife. I didn't even think twice.
Look in his eyes and see just a death.
I was sleeping in subway stations.
I never knew who was going to come back alive.
You just spiral down so fast.
Sometimes you don't care if you live or die.
Only God can do this. When they got down on their knees and prayed.
And so I said, God, if you're real,
give me a new mind, give me a new heart.
It was like I could feel something like scrubbing me from the inside out.
It's the Holy Spirit that is working within you.
Relive some of the most powerful stories of our time.
When you rescue somebody and their lives are dramatically changed, how can you argue with that?
There's miracles taking place. This is the only other way to say it. There's miracles happening. We've heard mothers say, I have my son back. I have my daughter back. We believe that Jesus Christ is the answer and the cure for people's life-controlling issues.
Teen Challenge, 50 years of miracles.
Hope lives here. Freedom is found here. And changed lives leave here.
I'm asking Jackie Stradoff to come. Jackie, God bless you, dear.
Good morning, church. I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was the oldest of six children.
We raised her like all the other children. She just went a different route.
I got off track in life, as maybe many of you have. Taking pills, getting high. I was dating the captain of the football team, and he was a senior, and then a cheerleader by the name of Lois, a blonde cheerleader, kind of moved in, and he dumped me for her. And the rejection felt really profound. That was the first time that I tried to kill myself. The next guy that I hooked up with was also older.
One day they called and just said that they got married.
And when I was 6 months pregnant, he had beaten me so badly, went in the hospital, and I had been carrying twins and they were born dead, and I was left sterile.
I didn't know about it. I didn't even know she was pregnant.
That summer was the summer that that I found heroin. I mean, you just spiral down so fast. Began to have to, you know, go out on the streets and commit all kinds of crime just to continually get the money to feed my habit.
I had five other children at home. And I mean, I did not have time to be dealing and going to court in and out and putting up bond money and stuff. I mean, it was just one thing after another.
There was a man that I was living with that was a drug dealer at the time, and
one night we went out, and when we came back, Michael was passed out in the bathtub.
And so we just pulled him over onto the bed and just kept shooting drugs through the night and didn't pay any attention to it.
In the morning I woke up because I was freezing cold, and realized I was freezing cold because he was freezing cold.
I can't call anybody or do anything because they'll come and they'll take all our drugs.
And at the time, Larry's working construction at this apartment site.
They took the body and wrapped it in a carpet.
And took him down the stairs and put him in the back of the truck.
And they carried it out to the job site where he worked. And he worked the backhoe, and he dug down about 10 or 15 feet.
And we went and buried him. And we swore that we'd never speak about it again. Things got really bad for me mentally after that. That's when my little brother came over to check on me. And I asked him if he wanted to try something. And so I shot him up. And he immediately started convulsing in my arms. Dragged him outside to the balcony.
And he died in my arms. And he was only 19 years old.
I was furious at her. I mean, I said, don't talk to me about her. I don't want to see her. I don't care what you do with her. I said, I don't want to hear nothing about it. I'm done.
The day that, with my brother's funeral, my father came with his friend Frank. And he said, God sent me here to tell you. That if you'll turn your life over to him, that he'll change you and he'll raise you up and use you to touch other people's lives. The book was given to me that Frank was talking about. There was a number on the back of the book, and I went to the phone booth and I made a collect call to that number.
And they sent a ticket and they brought me in this program. And I went in this program, I was high, they just put me to bed. The next day I woke up and I wanted to sneak away. And she says, listen, she said, if you'll let us pray for you, she said, I'll drive you back to town and put you on the bus and you can go back to D.C. I said, bet, I can do anything for 24 hours, right?
And they started praying. And I mean, almost immediately,
I could feel fire starting off in my belly right here. And it just raced through my whole body.
It was like I could feel something like scrubbing me from the inside out.
Everybody was saying to me, God touched you. God touched you. This is Jesus. He's touching you.
I didn't know anything theologically, but I knew when I got up off that floor that I would never, ever,
ever
be the same again.
Ever. I never was. And then all I wanted to know was, tell me more about Jesus. In my soul, he loved me. He loved me. Not when I got clean, but while I was still dirty. When I finished the program, I wanted more, and I started hearing that David Wilkerson was going to start a Bible school for Teen Challenge graduates.
And she was chosen to go to David Wilkerson's program because they took the best students there, and that's where she met her husband.
I found out on my first anniversary I was pregnant with my son. Yes. And 6 years later, he gave me another gift and gave me a daughter.
Her kids have just turned out great, you know, and I just can't get enough from her now. I mean, we just talk all the time.
And I never once dreamt that Jacqueline would end up becoming a minister herself.
So what the world said was not possible, God said, just watch me. What's been taken from you, what's been done to you, don't worry about it. Because I'm going to give it all back to you.
You know, and every time I watch that video, it just reminds me that when the women come to Teen Challenge, it's not just about stopping the drugs and stopping the drinking and stopping the lifestyle. It's about healing. It's not just about those things that, you know, the outward things that, that the women have been doing or the men at the men's center. The brokenness and the reason why they got there is because things like childhood abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. It's about issues of rape. It's about issues of divorce. It's about issues of losing custody of children. It's about issues of abortion. It's about issues of being exploited. And whether it's men or women's center, there is a lot of pain and healing that needs to take place. And as you can hear from Jackie's story, that it wasn't just about the drugs. It was about healing, that transforming power of the Holy Spirit that comes into lives and restores. And so we need your prayers. We need your encouragement, and we need your help, because this is not something that can be done in our strength. It can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so if there's any of you that have it on your heart to be a part of the Teen Challenge at the, either the men's center or the women's center, and I can speak for the women's center, then after the service, then please come and speak to me. If there's a way that you may want to volunteer to come and spend time with the women, or, you know, we would welcome anybody who wants to come and help us, teach us how to cook some things or spend some time with the women, you know, teach some of the women to sew or do some practical things. Just and pray. If you want to be a part of, you know, a prayer chain that would get updated reports and be able to pray for the women, then just speak with me. Because it's through people like yourselves that we can do this. It takes more than a village, I tell you. And so I just want to thank you. And if you have any questions at all, just come and see us at the back. And, you know, just while we're here, I would love to speak with you and just to chat with you. And if you have even a question about a family member, you know, speak to me, because I would almost venture to say that every person in this room today has been touched by addiction in one way or another, whether it's a family member, a neighbor, friend, someone. So, I just want to say thank you again for the privilege of being here. And we're praising God, and I'm excited about this next step of this service about, you know, just what an awesome testimony of obedience, you know, to the call of being baptized. And that's going to be an awesome celebration and privilege to be here at the same time today to spend that time with you. So thanks again for this time.
Thank you, Gloria and Christine and Victoria. Ushers, if you want to come, we're going to give an offering, which we normally take a monthly offering towards a mission somewhere outside of our church. So this month's offering will go towards Teen Challenge Women's Center. And if you go ahead and take the offering, and then I want us to pray while the offering's going on. If you have a pen, I'm going to ask the girls who are here today, the women who are here today, to give us your first name. And they're going to write down your names, and they're going to pray for you, okay? And, you know, it crossed my mind as we were listening to Jackie's story on the video that what really happened in her life was almost lost, except a bunch of Christians started praying for her that day. And God's incredible power of answering prayer. You know, church, we've been a special 40 days that we just wrapped up at the end of last week of focusing on prayer. And I want you to think about the things that we've been reading and talking about prayer and about glorifying God through prayer. I'd like you to write down the names of these 8 women who are here today. And we'll just take a time where you pray out that God's will would be done, that His name would be glorified, that His kingdom would be expanded in their lives. Can we do that? All right. We've got Gloria here in the front, and then Christine. Oh, my pen's not working here. There we go. And then Victoria. And then the second row is who? Darcy. Tony. Nikki, whoa, slow down. Darcy, Tony, Nikki, Christine again, Tracy. Oh, Trudy's coming. Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, but she's not going to be here today. Yeah. Yes. One of the students just went back to Ontario after 6 months. To visit her family, 5 children, and just to greet them. Is she coming back today? Yeah, good. Very good. All right, so let's take a time to pray. Christine? All right, so we've got here in the front row Gloria, Christine, Victoria, Darcy? My pen quit completely. What? No, it's all right. Tony, Nikki, Christine, Tracy. All right. Somebody give that to me afterwards. These guys are going to spend the afternoon with us at our home, so, and a few other places. And by the way, Victoria, 2 rows behind you is an RCMP officer. And he's a spirit-filled one. He'll be praying for you. Not the same one. Not the one from Kelowna. All right, let's just take a moment. Can you just stand up loud and clear and short prayers? Pray for each one of these. Let's make sure that everybody gets prayed for, okay? Somebody lead out. Yes, Lord. May you be glorified. May you be lifted up and made famous in this world. May your name be great, Lord. You have placed your name upon these eight women, plus Trudy, who's not here with us today. Lord, you have put your fame at stake upon their lives. You have said to the world, look at these people. This is what I do to a person. This is what I look like. Father, may you be made famous through their lives. May you be well represented through them. May it be evident to all that you are the God who redeems, who restores, who gives new life. Father, we thank you that you don't critique us or stand to judge us or stand to condemn us. But in Christ there is no condemnation, that you have given us a new life, that the old is washed away, the new is come, that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Father, the story that's told in this baptism that we're about to have is a story of all of our lives, Lord, that you have taken our old nature that was corrupted by our sin, corrupted by selfishness, corrupted by Satan's destruction, and you have put it to death in Christ Jesus. Lord, the life that we live is not that life trying to do better. The life that we live, you've given us in Christ Jesus. Lord, be lifted up and made famous. Expand your kingdom, Lord. Let your will come, your kingdom come, and your will be done. Lord, protect us from the enemy. Lead us not into temptation, Lord. Guard us and deliver us from Satan's plans to pull us back, Lord. Let all of us stand together as your bride, as your beautiful people, Lord. Let all of us make your name famous, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing your lives with us. If we could have the four women who are being baptized today. Sounds like a women's Sunday, doesn't it? Well, that's how it is this time. So Katrina and Lauren and Tammy Chen and Hannah, if you could come. We're going to ask you to share. Come, join me. Don't be shy. Lauren's going to speak first, and then Hannah, and then Tammy, and then Katrina. We're going to ask each of them to share here, and then, what was that? And then we'll go downstairs, and I'll ask all of the elders and the advisory elders to just come, and we're going to pray for the whole group at once, and then we'll baptize all four, and then we'll open it up for a few people to share prophetic words over their lives. But I would encourage you to also write down prophetic words. It won't be recorded this time, but if you could just write it down and give it to them, there might not be as much time as we normally leave for that. And there is a lunch afterwards, so we hope that you can all join us for lunch. Enough of the announcements. We want to hear from Lauren. This is Lauren Dresselhaus.
Hi. Like you said, my name is Lauren, and I've been going to this church since, well, forever. So I've been going to this church all my life, and okay, but and I've like watched all the baptisms and like, oh, that's cool. I can get baptized like later, and then it's. And then in the past few years, I've been, like, really thinking about it, and it's been always, you know, this, like, camp high when you go to, like, a sweet summer camp, and you're like, oh, yes, I'm like, oh, God is awesome. And then you come back to normal life, and you just go back to normal. And during those moments, you're like, oh, I really should get baptized because that's really cool, and I mean, I should get baptized. And then Mr. Chamberlain, if you know, he's a really cool guy, and he's been praying for me, and, like, he's given me a few words, and one of the words he gave me was like, I just like thinking about it. I was like, wow, Lauren, you know, for that to happen, girl, you gotta get baptized. But then I was like, oh, but then you have to stand up in front of everybody and explain what's happening, and then you have to go into the water, which is weird why I would think that because I'm in a swim club. But and then I came, and so it's been put on my heart. And then in school we've been reading like a devotion book, and it's been talking about how you should follow leadings from God and like what a leading is and stuff like that. And then I came on Friday night to when Mr. Thomas was speaking, and it was really powerful. And during he was speaking, he had like group there, and it was like the people who were in Adam and then the people who were in Christ. And then he got David and he like stuck him on the floor, and he was like, had his foot on his like throat, and was like, yeah, you're like being baptized and you're like, your old self is dying, and then you have to become a new creation. And I was just sitting there and I was like, wow, that's so me. I totally want to get baptized. So like I came up and Mrs. McLean prayed for me, and that was really awesome. It was really powerful, and that's why I'm getting baptized.
Well, first, I was, when I was first in kindergarten, age 5, then my teacher had led me through a prayer to become a Christian and let Jesus into my heart, and then I hadn't even heard of baptism or what it was. Then later, when I was about 6 or 7, I heard of it, but I didn't know anything about it. And then I learned some. And since I was 9, I had wanted to be baptized, but I wanted to know more about it. And I was waiting for the right time when God was telling me to, because I wasn't quite ready. And then when I heard Mr. Thomas talk and explain about life in Adam or life in Christ, and he explained about baptism, I knew that I wanted to get baptized, and God was just telling me it was that time. And he explained really a lot about baptism. And then at the end of that, I got prayed for about baptism. And then last Friday, Katrina, Lauren, Mr. Bornman, Mr. Dresselhaus, and my dad and I talked about baptism before Roots for a long time. And it all became completely clear to me, and I knew, like, lots about it. And I wanted to get baptized because baptism is a ceremony that tells everybody that I wanted to die from being an Adam and be born again as my new self in Christ.
Good morning, family. As I look around this room, I was very nervous to come up here. This is not a favorite thing for me to do. And I look and I see these are all people I love, each and every one of you. And there are some really great women here this morning that I admire. And I thank you girls so much for being here. As you know, I'm not a new Christian. I've been walking with the Lord for years. And it came as a big shock to, I'm sure, more than a few of you that I'm not baptized. It's just, I truly feel that you really need to be led to that point. God must speak to you. Your walk with the Lord is going to be as individual as you. And not everything is going to follow a certain timetable or a pattern. And that's wonderful, because it's your walk. It's your individual walk with Christ, and that's what it's all about, is being true to yourself, being true to Him. It'll come when it comes. Have faith in that. And I have faith in that, and the time has come, and I'm here. And Deanna, love you. Judy, adore you. Thank you so much for your prayers and just being here. I can't thank you enough. I want you all to know that I'm at a point now in my life where I truly want to take this step. And I think during our walk with the Lord, there comes a point where, you know, you hit that point of, you know, low self-worth, where you go, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. And God wants you there for a moment. He wants you so that it's in that moment you truly realize the magnitude of the sacrifice that was made on your behalf. Then you get it. And then you start walking with Him, and it's an amazing thing. He doesn't want us in that low point. You know, there's a song, Majesty, that I absolutely love. And there's a line in there that says, in royal robes, I don't deserve. And it's so amazing. That's where He wants us. He wants to elevate us to that point where we are worthy of being his bride. Hallelujah. That is so good. And that's the point I'm at right now. And I thank you all so much for being a family and being part of my walk. Thank you so much.
I guess I've kind of wanted to get baptized for a while. I had like a few questions like, why do you have to get baptized? I didn't really think about it that much. You just kind of go on with life and going to school. You don't really like, but I was like, why do you have to get baptized? And I guess I gave my life to Jesus when I was 5. I had the same kindergarten teacher as Hannah, and she was really nice. And from kindergarten to grade 7, I don't really remember like very much stuff in between. I know that there was never a time when I like didn't want to follow Jesus. I know that all the time I've wanted to follow him and live for him. And I was also there when Mr. Thomas spoke, and he said about having two groups. One is in Adam, like sinners, and the other one's in Christ, and you're righteous. And he said that, like, when you are baptized, you're dying to your sin, because everyone's sinners, everyone's in Adam. You're dying to your sin, then you're raised up to new life in Christ. And what I was really thinking about was he said that there's no in-between. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ, and that baptism is a way to get into Christ. And I know that right now I want to live my life for Jesus, and I want to follow him. And his example is so clear in my mind. And I knew that right away that night that I wanted to get baptized. And it made sense to me. And that's what I wanted to do. And baptism for me is the next step. And I'm excited. And, yeah.
Thank you. You all shared very well. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you 4 official questions. Just want to say, in summary, you've heard the story very well from each of them about what baptism is. And if you're here today and you're not baptized, baptism is not the point at which you've arrived or attained a certain level of holiness that now you're acceptable to God. Baptism is the point at which you say, I am trusting in God to make me righteous. My faith is not in my actions. I know I haven't attained. But my faith is that Jesus went before me and he has attained and he's given me his life. And so we are by faith saying, Lord Jesus, put to death all of my own doing and give me your life. And so baptism is about lordship. Who is in charge of your life? Baptism is not something that you do when you say, I want to live my own plan and I hope that God blesses it. Baptism is something that you do when you say, Lord, I want to die to my plan. From now on, tell me what to do. I want you to be in charge of my life. So I have 4 simple questions. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that your sins were put upon Jesus and that he took your place of punishment already by death of crucifixion on the cross? And do you believe that God the Father accepted his payment and raised Jesus from the dead? And today, do you acknowledge that Jesus is your Lord and your Master, the one who you choose to obey? Okay. Good. These folks may need to change clothes, so if you could not stop them now, we're going to all go downstairs, but they might need to go find their towels and that sort of things. If you're not changing clothes, could you welcome one of these eight women and bring them downstairs with you, and then you can take them to the front of the line when we eat as well. All right, so let's go that way now. God bless you.